Brother Jack has assigned the subject that we are to rekindle. How can we rekindle the fire? Maybe you are wondering, well, where did he get the sermon topic out of the Bible for that? Well, I looked up myself, and I wonder where it came from. And I found it in 2 Timothy, the first chapter and verse 6. Paul was in prison at Rome, waiting perhaps execution any day. He had already written Timothy a letter and Titus a letter as young evangelist. Now he writes again to Timothy. And as we know, he charged him to preach the word, and he realized that the time of my departure is at hand. Well, now then, let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherefore I put you, or put thee, in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir up the gift of God that's in you by the putting on of my hands. In that early day of the church, when the truth of the Lord was being proclaimed, there were inspired men. Paul was an apostle, especially unto the Gentiles. He was not a whit behind any of the apostles, but his work was especially unto the Gentiles. Well, they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to guide them into all truth, to preach the word, to perform miracles, to confirm the word, to write the truth of the Lord, but also they could lay their hands upon certain individuals and impart unto them certain gifts, miraculous gifts of the Spirit. So Timothy had received a gift by the laying on of Paul's hands, and he worked with the Apostle Paul. At this time he was in Ephesus in Macedonia and in the area of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in various parts of the world. Now then, stir up the gift that is in thee. Use it. Use it. It's given to you for use. Now then, that word also is translated in a different way. And I checked some of my private translations, and the New American Standard Bible says, kindle afresh the gift of God. But Goodspeed translation is, rekindle the divine gift. Well, now many of you grew up on the farm, and you can remember when Daddy would put some ashes on the coal at night and cover it up, and the next morning get out and dig up a few of the live coals and begin to put on some, maybe some paper and some kindling, and fan it and get it blazing and kindle it. And the fire started burning, didn't it? And then we added a little more wood and we fanned it and it kept blazing. Now that's the figure of speech that's in the original language here in this text. Kindle the flame. Make it burn. It's been given unto you. And so it is that we can use that expression today. Now, I realize we do not have miraculous gifts today. And people cannot speak in tongues by the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, they can speak a different tongue if they studied that language. They cannot perform miracles or speak by inspiration. They must study the Word of God. But at the same time, we can think about what we have and to use what we have to the glory of God. Now, we can apply it in an individual way. Whatever blessing you have and ability you have, study the Word of God. Use it. Do the best you can to advance the cause of Jesus Christ here upon this earth. The Lord wants you to do that. But as a congregation, yes, rekindle the blaze. And I like the song that we were using a few moments ago, revive us again. And I think some congregations need to sing that along too, don't you? They need to be revived and encouraged to pep it up and let's go forward. We've been dragging along here, and now the time has come that we need to do something. We have studied in this lectureship the need of preaching the gospel of Christ faithfully, the plan of salvation, scriptural worship, and against immorality. I mentioned in the lesson that I gave concerning divorce and remarriage, and that it is on the increase in America. I had some help to get some figures. What is the rate now of divorce in America? And someone said, I found out that the percentage in the year 2002 was 47.6% of divorce over marriage license issued. In other words, when there are two marriage licenses issued, there's also one divorce issued in America. That's the rate that's going today. I do not know what the year 2004 might be. But isn't that sad? Now, there is the need of preaching today and the need of doing the Lord's will. Brother Tony has talked about some of the changes that people are offering in worship today and call it contemporary worship, and they're not following the teaching of the Word of God. And that is one place that we need to get back and do some teaching concerning worship. The lesson, I want it to be encouraging, but also it has a sad note. 150 and 100 years ago, there were congregations that began to introduce mechanical instruments of music in the worship. In Lexington, Kentucky, down below is a little community, Midway, and there is encased in a glass in the lobby of the school building an instrument. And this was put in by Mr. Pinkerton, who was the preacher of the congregation. He said the singing wasn't good. Introduced mechanical instruments. Soon other congregations began to do the same. Other congregations began to do the same. That happened in Kentucky, Tennessee, and other places. It swept over the land of America. It went into foreign countries, into England, and then into New Zealand and Australia. And the church divided. Now, I do not know, but I read an article printed a few months ago in the Gospel Advocate, where the author said that at least 10% of the congregations remained faithful, but the rest of them went by the way of liberalism. That's a low number, isn't it? Now then, there are those today who are advocating changes. I know that's true. How far will this sentiment go? I do not know. Well, what can we do about it? We can preach the Word. And we can ask people to remain faithful and true. We can ask congregations to remain faithful and true. And this is what I plan to do. And that's what will every preacher that's been on this lectureship will plan to do and is doing. And this is what this congregation wants. And this is the reason why the subject was announced as the theme of the lectureship, to make a plea to remaining true to the Word of God without any changes. In the 12th chapter of 1 Kings, after the death of Solomon, Rehoboam came as the king, but there was a man who rose up of the name of Jeroboam, and he must have been very persuasive. Anyway, people were ready to follow him, and he led off 10 tribes, leaving only the tribe of Judah and the little tribe of Benjamin. He set up golden calves, one at Dan, just about 8 miles north of Jerusalem, where the temple was, and then one up in the northern part of the country. And he said, you know, it's too far to go down to Jerusalem, just stay here. And here's the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Bible says that became a sin, and Jeroboam led Israel into sin. And finally, they went into Assyria as captives, from which they did not return as a country again. Later, after Jeroboam's day, there was Ahab, who married a foreigner, Jezebel. She introduced Baalism. And so They kept on going farther and farther away from the word of the Lord and from obedience to the Lord. Prophets arose. Especially we read of two great prophets, Elijah and then Elisha. But they went into captivity. That's the point. He led them. All 19 of the kings followed Jeroboam. Now then, I have related this at times. I have done local work in Grand Prairie in helping build a building about the time this building was being erected by selling bonds and working. There's an elderly woman. I think she's about 97 years of age now. And she told me, I can remember back home when the discussion was, shall we put in the instrument or not? And there were some who were opposed to it. But one Sunday we went, and the instrument had been brought in and was up here on the pulpit stand. And a woman was there to play the organ. Some said, no, we don't want it. We don't want to have a part of it in the worship. That's wrong. That's addition to the Word of God. But others said, oh, yes, we will. Well, that created a little disturbance, of course. But finally, the preacher said, play on Miss Bertha. Her name was Bertha. Play on Miss Bertha. And so she played on. And some got up, and they walked out, not to return anymore to that place of worship. We'll go somewhere else. We'll establish another congregation. Now, this woman told me, I can remember, Perry, Mama and Grandma talking about it one morning in the kitchen after that happened, and both of them crying. They hated it so bad. We helped to build this building. We helped to build up the congregation. And now look what has happened. Now we've heard the expression, what has happened can happen again. After the northern kingdom of the kingdom of Israel went into Assyria, the southern kingdom continued on for about 130 years. They gradually departed also from the word of the Lord. Jeremiah pled with them to follow the Lord and go back to the old paths, but they said, we will not, and they did not. They went into the Babylonian captivity, which continued in all for 70 years. And Daniel was a young man that went with them and remained there. And we have the book of Daniel. Ezekiel also went, and he was there. What has happened can happen again. We are being faced today in America, in the Lord's church, by preachers and members of the church who are leading congregations in the wrong direction. And that's why these lessons have been given. And that's why I've been asked to say, let's go back and rekindle the flame and do something about it. Now then, that's the introduction. How are we going to have? Number one, I'd say, let's return to faithful, devoted, dedicated gospel preaching in the pulpits and ask your local preacher to do that. The old themes. I obtained some Bibles just recently to send to Malaysia from the preacher in English. He asked me to get them. And then the man, after I had paid for the Bibles, said he ordered 200 books of Leroy Brownlow's book, Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ. What's he going to do? Ask these people, these 10, 11 congregations in Malaysia that's been established, to take these sermons and preach these basic fundamental sermons about the church. They need them. Certainly. And we need them for our young people in the United States of America also today. And preachers, we need to do it. The old-timey preachers studied the Bible, didn't they? And they quoted the Bible, and they used the chalkboard maybe and wrote, go home and read Acts 2:38. Read Mark 16:16. See that the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Check it. Well, of course they did. And many of them said, we haven't been scripturally baptized. We only be baptized. Read Acts 11:26. See what name is given that they wore. What were they called first at Antioch? What about the Lord's Supper? Read Acts 20 and verse 7. And people read the Bible and the preachers preached the Bible and people began to turn to the Lord and restore New Testament Christianity and congregations were established and the congregations grew. You know they grew. Now then, we need to get back to having more gospel meetings. I believe in gospel meetings. I gave up local work in 1972 to devote my time to gospel meetings in America and throughout the world. There are some congregations who haven't been having gospel meetings lately in the last few years. Well, they have preaching, but it's just more or less general. They're not giving the plan of salvation. Now, I've been told this, are telling people what to do to be saved from sin. If you have a personal need, we'll be glad to talk to you and study with you or something like that. I've been told you could go Sunday after Sunday and you never would learn the plan of salvation. I don't know whether that's true or not, but one individual told an elder of the church, said, why don't we have a gospel meeting? Oh, the elder said, wouldn't anybody come? He said, how do you know you haven't had one 20 years? Why don't you give it a try? Now, we're grateful for this congregation still having gospel meetings in addition to the lectureship. That's the reason why it's a good congregation. Have gospel meetings. When I began full-time local work in 1934, leaving my hometown in Murray, Kentucky, after finishing college, we had two gospel meetings a year, usually in the spring and in the fall. The meetings went from Sunday until about Thursday or Friday night of the second week. And we had afternoon services and then an evening service. People came, but people were baptized. I engaged in those meetings. I know times were hard, and sometimes preachers would exchange meetings. That is this. I would go to this preacher's place and preach and stay with him, and they might give me a little money for bus fare, riding all night on the bus, cigarette smoke and cigar smoke all the way. And then he would come and preach for me in a meeting. But people were baptized, 30, 40 people at times. The church was growing. We were preaching. We were preaching. And what were we preaching? We were preaching the fundamentals of New Testament Christianity, the one true church, scriptural baptism, what to do to be saved from sin, why we don't use instrumental music in the worship, and things like that. Get Leroy Brownlow's book and other tracts that could be available. We need to get back to preaching. And preachers, we need to get back to studying the Bible and preaching more of the Bible. And this is what the Bible says. And we believe the Bible and we want to follow the Bible. And the Bible is right. I think that is very, very important. And I'd like to emphasize that. Well, again, I think we need to get back to emphasizing scriptural giving. Now, times were hard many years ago, as you older ones know. And I can also relate to that. Very little pay came, little pocket change. But we love the Lord, and we wanted the church to grow. We didn't have air-conditioned church buildings. No. We didn't have padded pews. No. Raise the windows. Let a little fresh air in. Get the candidates' fans, election years, and use those. Well, of course we did. Now, younger people don't know about that today, but that's right. And Brother Bailey, J.C. Bailey, desired to go to India in 63. He talked to me about going. Well, I finally went, and I enjoyed it. People came, sat on the floor, and the floor was usually the dirt. And they put down some kind of a blanket or something. Let me tell you something about Brother Bailey preaching. He was preaching at a place, and I've been there. And the building was rather small, and the women came in and put the blankets down and maybe holding the children. And he was preaching away, and the person was translating for him. And there was a side door that was open where they had entered. And he said all at once they screamed out, "Whoop! My, what on earth has happened?" They began to pick up the children and rush out and push one another. He wondered, well, what on earth happened? What did I say? Or what did I do? And finally he found out a big cobra snake had come in, and that scared them. And so they left. And finally the brethren caught it or killed it and destroyed it. And they said, now we can get back into the building and everything will be all right. And he said he got back into the building and preached. And about 7 or 8 desired to be baptized. And I said, if I'd been there and hadn't been baptized, I would have been baptized too. But that's the kind of work that established the church in India. And there are many congregations there today. I challenged the brethren several years ago to try to get the church established in every state of India. The last time I was there, they told me that had been done. It is now in every state of India. And so there are those who are working today to help establish the church in other parts of the world. And that is great, and that's wonderful. And brethren, we need to give, and to give liberally, to support the work of the Lord in the various parts of the world. Again, as we turn to the closing part of the New Testament, we have the book of Revelation. And there is John's account given by the Lord, little short letters to the 7 churches of Asia. He said concerning the church at Ephesus, you've left your first love. And then when we get over to Sardis, it's a dead congregation. Well, there are a few that are all right, but most of you are just plain spiritually dead. And then when you get to the book and chapter 3 of Laodicea, well, it was rich so far as worldly goods concerned, but the Lord said, you're lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot. And unless you repent, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. And so there are congregations, I believe, today that need to truly repent and to say that we can do better and we should do better and let's do better. And I believe there'll be those that will help us to do better. I know that there's the general feeling in our country where one church is just as good as another and it doesn't make any difference. They're thinking of denominations. The Lord's church is not a denomination, never has been and never will be. The Lord established the church, the one spiritual body of Christ, the saved. Now, different congregations are spoken of in the New Testament, groups meeting at various places, and when men are qualified as elders and deacons, fine, but they are to work in preaching the gospel and trying to save souls. That's the main thing. And so the main thing is to keep the main thing. And that is the main thing, preaching the gospel to save souls, that individuals may learn the truth and obey the truth and live the Christian life and go to heaven when this earthly life is over. Well, some, you know, will say we're all going to the same place and it doesn't make any difference. Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Christ is the only way. And there are only two ways. The straight and narrow way, the broad way where many people travel. And so we need to teach people the truth. Have special services. Preach and study the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. We can begin growing and baptizing people again with having great gospel meetings and people's coming and studying and doing the Lord's will. That is our plea. So emphasize the plan of salvation. Emphasize scripture worship. Emphasize good Christian living. Emphasize the young people to study the Bible and live by the Bible and marry good boys and girls and live the Christian life. And when this earthly life is over, heaven will be their home forever and forever. Rekindle the fire. Rekindle it and let it burn brightly. And I believe that can be done. You've listened carefully. And this concludes our lectureship. And the brethren are grateful for all the visitors who have come. And we are grateful for your wonderful kindness. Now then, we're going to sing our song of invitation. It may be that in this audience, there is some boy or girl, man or woman, who has not been baptized. Or maybe you have accepted something called baptism in the denomination, which is not scriptural. You need to do what the Bible says. We ask of you to come forward with faith in your heart, sincere repentance, to confess with the mouth Christ is Lord, that you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and to be buried with him in baptism, baptized, immersed, for the remission of your sins. You'll not be joining some denomination. You'll be obeying the Lord and will be added by the Lord to his spiritual body, the church. If you live in this community, you can work and worship with this good congregation. If you live elsewhere, you can worship with a congregation in your area. But the important thing is for you to be baptized into Christ and to become a Christian and not wait and put it off any longer. Do it tonight. We beg of you and we plead with you lovingly and kindly. It's so very, very important. Many people have desired to do this and have put it off and they've waited too late. If time continues, you and I are going to pass from this earthly life. And we don't know when. But when this earthly life comes to an end, we haven't come to an end. There is the judgment day, and there is eternity. And you're going to be at the judgment. All of us will. We preachers will be there. And we're going to be judged by how faithful we have preached here upon this earth. Maybe you're a member of the church, and you haven't been faithful. You haven't been devoted. The lesson that I've used tonight and maybe have caused you to think, well, I need to be more devoted, more dedicated. You need to come back in a public way, acknowledge wrongs, and ask God forgiveness with the assurance that if we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us. No, that will not be necessary to be baptized again. That's not what the Bible says. You are a child of God. Sometimes a member of the church, not knowing the teaching of the Bible properly or respecting it, will go into some denomination. And maybe that person will say, well, I'm not a member of the Church of Christ anymore. That's not true. If one sincerely obeys the gospel of Christ, he's added by the Lord of the church and becomes a child of God. But it's to be a child of God unfaithful. The prodigal son who made up his mind to go back home was still a son. And the father knew he was a son. And when he came back, he said, my son has come back home. You are still a child of God. I may become very mean and very bad, but I'm a child of my father and I always will be. And you are a child of God. And you are in the Lord's church, and you always will be, if you have faithfully obeyed the gospel and been baptized into Christ. But you can become unfaithful. You can depart from the Lord, and you can die in that condition and be eternally lost as an unfaithful member of the Lord's family in the Lord's church. So maybe you need to do something tonight also. Or if you're a faithful member of the church and you'd like to become identified with this congregation, let the brethren know your desire, want to work and worship with this good church, then you can let that be known in a public way, and they'd be happy for you to do that tonight. And so, this is the invitation song. Your soul is very important. You will live forever and forever. You exist, but you will never cease to exist. Where will you spend eternity? Only two places. You are eternal, created in the image of God. The Lord loves you. Jesus died for you. And God is not willing that any should perish. That means you. He wants you to be saved. But to all to come to repentance, you must respond. God will not force you to do it against your will. And so the invitation is to choose this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the Lord faithfully? Will you be a faithful member of the church? Will you be devoted and dedicated in the cause of Christ? If so, and be faithful unto death, and heaven will be your eternal home. You've listened so well. Let us stand and sing. Won't you come?